Hello, everyone. It is the 8th of February, 2021, at 4:54 p.m. I have a lot of stuff to cover on the Meyer material today, but I'm going to finish up the click of the clip on Dr. Steve Pachenik, and we're going to talk a little bit about life in the womb, according to the Meyer information and its perspective, and we're going to discuss creation a little bit, the universal consciousness, and what's called the energy fetus. Very unusual. So if you're new to this show, just hold on, because it's going to be a lot of different stuff, a lot of stuff you may have never heard before. And we won't spend too much time on this clip, but I think it's very interesting, this dialogue back and forth between Dr. Steve Pachenik and Alex Jones.
I just said it would take time in my mind. I didn't know exactly when and how long it would take. Number one, the CIA has been always replete with incompetence and corruption. I mean, we saw that. We got rid of Gina Haspel. Whoever said, you know, we have domestic terrorists. I mean, what you're seeing now is the exposure of a corrupt, incompetent regime of Biden and all his people. And what it really is, it's not only an indictment of Biden, forget that. It's an indictment of Obama and Brennan. This goes to the heart of the matter. Obama, as I told you, was a gay, flaming homosexual nobody who came, was the CIA operative, and Brennan was his control officer, and both of them messed up. So you have people there who are secretaries of defense, secretaries of state, who started a war in Iraq, where we lost 5,000, started a war in Libya, started a war in Yemen, Somalia, Sudan, Afghanistan, Syria. Am I getting through to you how incompetent and what we have to show?
Yeah, they're so incompetent, they stole the election and took over.
They stole what election?
They stole the election or taken over. They're so incompetent.
Let me ask you, how do you know they stole the election? Where are the numbers coming in?
Trump had double, triple, quadruple in battleground states before they shut down the election that night and stole it.
And you say that's a fait accompli, right? You think that's over. And I'm saying,
no. Here's the deal. I never give up, but I'm also realistic about what I face.
And you think I am a wishful thinker. That's why I come on your show.
I just know that I talk to a lot of people in the government. Hold on, Steve. Seriously. Hey, listen. Hold on a minute. I talk to a lot of really smart people. They tell me the country's in deep, deep trouble, and we're in a globalist takeover right now. They're planning to set bombs off all over the country and start trying a civil war. So I'm really concerned for my family and everybody else right now.
Who's going to set bombs?
The Southern Poverty Law Center.
Southern Poverty Law Center?
Yeah, they ran Elohim City. They ran the attack on Oklahoma City. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Come on. I know them very well. They haven't said anything. You and I don't agree, but what we are having here...
Hold on. You're saying that leftist groups aren't controlling and manipulating right-wing terror groups and winning a false flag. I mean, they're gearing up with the Pentagon to go after the American people. They've got CIA counterterrorism heads saying they want a war with us. This is treason. This is criminal. This is disgusting. This is a war on us. Not us kicking ass. Not us winning. Not us taking over. They're running the tables against us. And unless we wake up to this and have the states and good governors like DeSantis repudiate it, we're in deep trouble, and these idiots are going to start a war. They're going to lose in the end, but it's not going to be fun.
I'm in a state where DeSantis is here. He's in military intelligence. After you're yelling and screaming, would you like to know who he really is? He's the guy who came out of Jacksonville, had no special privileges, went to Harvard and Yale, and then was a special force. And now here in Florida, we're not listening to either Fauci, who, by the way, was exposed. Isn't that interesting? Trump didn't have to say he was a total fraud, because the New York Times and the Atlantic Monthly exposed the bullshit that Fauci has been saying, and the nonsense about wearing a mask. Now you don't wear one mask, you wear two masks. So take it easy, Alex. Listen to what's going on. Do not get upset. And what
Doc,
I want
Doc, listen,
to
I'm nice to you, and I think you actually believe this stuff you're saying, and you're an interesting talk show host, and people like you on the show. So I like you as a person. But the patronizing, dude, I'm 47 years old. I've been around the block 100 times. I don't patronize you. I'm being serious about this.
What do you want me to say? I've said to you, Alex, I've said to you exactly what's happening. Am I patronizing you? No. Am I saying you're wrong? Yes. Am I saying that Biden administration will not last? Yes. Am I saying this is part of the psyops in order to expose to the American public the amount of corruption, not only in the Democratic
Party? I agree with you that he's the worst damn choice. I mean, if you want to discredit your party, I agree with you that this looks like a disaster. How do they extricate themselves from Biden when Kamala's even more unpopular?
That's correct. And that's what we're waiting for, to see when she comes in and what the problems will be. But at the same time, when were you ever exposed to the fact that McConnell was corrupt and was an operative of the Chinese shipping building? When were you exposed to the fact that Lindsey Graham was ineffectual, a homosexual, even though he served in the Army? When was that exposed?
No, it is all starting to come out. The Democrats are now panicking, wanting a war because they can't win the political fight. I agree that they're trying to start a civil war because they're losing. I'm concerned about them staging it.
Cool it. There is no civil war. They can't stage anything right now. We have control over the entire country. That's why we deputized Army Man, I don't know about Southcom. I've been to Southcom. I'm not dealing with Southcom.
So I'm a special operator.
What do you want me to say to you? Myanmar just had a coup. Now, who initiated the coup?
Well, I know that's a Soros group, and the globalists are pissed. I know Pompeo's pissed. I know the Democrats are pissed.
Oh, and who did I say? Didn't I say to you Pompeo was a disaster Secretary of State? Didn't I tell you that Pence was a disaster as vice president? It all came out. How would it have come out if Trump didn't allow it to happen? How would you have exposed it?
No, I've told listeners that in a way, Biden being in is worse for the globalist agenda than if Trump stayed in, because they could keep blaming Trump.
Remember?
Maybe we'll stop it there. It's very interesting back and forth. What is going on in this country? Billy's talked about the two civil wars in our country breaking up into separate parts. It certainly looks like that's very, very possible. I like Dr. Steve Pachenik's point of view. I hope he's right, but it kind of looks bad in some ways. But look, we'll keep a positive attitude. Next, what are we going to cover? Well, I'm going to talk about some interesting things in the book Might of Thoughts that talks about the fetus. Let me read this from page 36. It says, "Thus at birth, when there are basic characteristics already present, then these were already formed with the development of the human being in the womb, simply through the might of the thoughts of the developing human being. The fetus in human development. A fetus is a prenatal human between its embryonic state and birth. The fetal stage of development tends to be taken as beginning at the gestational age of 11 weeks, i.e. 9 weeks after fertilization, since the spiriform enters the womb at 21 days. This is the main thing, I think, that the Meyer information says in terms of the fetus, and that the spirit form enters the womb at 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. The spirit form is the spiritual consciousness of the child. And the spirit form is the part of you that never dies. When your physical body dies, your spirit form will leave your physical body, and it'll take your that consciousness with it. We have a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness. The material consciousness is really only around for that one life cycle each time, and then the spirit form will eventually reincarnate again. But it'll be a new material consciousness that it has. The material consciousness is your personality during the current lifetime. It's your subconscious, your unconscious, your conscious mind. Every time a spirit form comes into the womb of a woman, it brings in a new material consciousness. So yes, it is reincarnation, but it's a new material consciousness. The material consciousness is kind of in the foreground. The spiritual consciousness is kind of in the background. The material consciousness knows what time it is, you know, it keeps, like, if you're driving your car, it's your material consciousness doing that, all, and that sort of thing. The spiritual consciousness sends impulses of wisdom to the material consciousness, and they're direction determining. And a lot of times they're not listened to, but we'd be very much better off to listen to the impulses of the spiritual consciousness. So you have these two kinds of consciousness. The spirit form never dies. It cannot be harmed in any way. If you get blown up by a bomb, your spirit is fine. Your spiritual consciousness cannot be harmed in any way. It never has a breakdown. You could have a full-blown mental illness and a breakdown and be hysterical in your material consciousness, but it doesn't affect the spiritual consciousness. So there really is these two kinds of consciousness in the human being. One of Billy's contacts described how the spiritual consciousness works. She says, the spirit form, how did she describe that? Her name was Semyase. Billy met with her in the 70s. She would land her ship not far from Billy's home, and there in Hinterschmidrudy, and he would drive his moped out to where she landed her ship, and he had pictures of the ship, multiple pictures of the ship, and the two would talk face to face. She said the spirit form remembers everything that you do, all of your impulsations, and it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. So the spirit form is kind of in the background. It's lived for millions of years. Your spirit form reincarnates and reincarnates. We reincarnate. There are 7 evolutionary steps for the human being. We start out in what's called primitive life, and then we reincarnate many, many times, and then we finally enter into what's called rational life, and we reincarnate many, many times, and then we go into intelligent life, and then what I tend to call real life, and then life and creation of wisdom, and then the 6th stage, which is kind of special, because the body starts to lose its physicality. At that stage, it's half spiritual, half physical. And then we go into a spiritual stage where we're billions of years in a completely spirit stage. So this is the kind of what the Meyer information explains as the evolution of the human being. And the way the Meyer information teaches it is that we live multiple, many, many lifetimes. For example, I talked about the real life, the 4th stage. Well, it's very interesting. There are some notes in the Meyer information which explain that. For example, I was talking about Semyase, which was Billy's 3rd contact, I believe. And these Pleiaren extraterrestrials that Billy has met with are mostly in the 4th and 5th stage of evolution. And for example, in the 4th stage of evolution, human beings, they gain the ability to create sentient intelligence, biological. So the CPU of her ship is biological. and it's sentient, and it's self-aware. She can communicate with it telepathically. And this is something that kind of crushes, I think, many of our religions. And I think the Meyer information scares a lot of people in religion. I think it to a certain extent, kind of did me too, because it's brutally real. I'll put it to you this way. There is no sugarcoating on anything. It's straightforward, right at you. And that's, I think, one of the things that ultimately was appealing to me about it. It took some time, because I think you go into a kind of cognitive dissonance, because one of the reasons religions are formed is to help people have more answers. They start out as a kind of speculation, and then they're adopted as reality, and it reaffirms people's point of view on things. But when the truth finally comes to you, and if you're still seeking it, that's the question. If you're still seeking it, I think many people will recognize it. Now, there are, I think, people that are so lost that they can't tell what's true anymore. Now, I would agree with that. But your spirit form knows. I'll put it to you this way. So if you're in touch with your innermost creational eye, then it becomes easier for you to navigate things. But anyway, I wanted to continue here. I got kind of a little hung up there. There's a lot we could talk about there. A lot that's very, very interesting, particularly about reincarnation and how that all works, because it doesn't really work like most people think it does. At least the Meyer information doesn't put it that way. And it makes sense, because even if you were born with the same consciousness that you had in your previous life, you would be having to grow up again, having to learn how to speak and walk and talk. And you would be in a different family in a different time, and you would be profoundly different. Even though, see what happens, you get a new consciousness, a new material consciousness, each time that you're born again. I know that's a Christian term. But each time that you're reincarnated, you get a new material consciousness. And that material consciousness, the subconscious, is programmed with all the evolutive values from your previous life. So your past life memories are deeply buried in your subconscious, usually. Now, there are people that when they die very young and they reincarnate very quickly, and a lot of those past life memories somehow blend into the consciousness, or they bubble up from the subconscious somehow. And there are many examples of people that, you know, remember things and this that they could never have known. And this is not genetic memory, the way some people call it, because the genetic memory is something you get from your parents. And for example, there's a young boy, I forget his name, who talked about flying a Corsair in World War II. He talked when he was 4 years old or something, really young. He talked about flying a Corsair in World War II, and he landed. He said he used to take off and land on an aircraft carrier called the Potomac Bay. Now, how in the world would a boy at 4 or 5 years old know these things? He talked about getting flat tires when he would land, because the Corsairs were a big plane and the tires were not all that good. He talked about being shot down with aircraft, anti-aircraft fire. He talked about he gave the specific names of the other pilots that he flew with. Now, that's phenomenal. And eventually his parents took him to meet these other guys, and finally the kid could let go of these memories and then go on with his lifetime. But I mean, that is nothing that's demonic, although the Christian world would try to say that somehow was demonic. No, it's just the brutal reality of the way things are. And we are living in a time when there's very, very much overpopulation. And this causes more problems with the whole reincarnational cycles, because people don't get enough time on the other side in the spirit realm to prepare for the new life. They come back. And this causes all kinds of problems. They come back way too soon. But anyway, I wanted to talk about the embryo a little bit, because in our religions, I think it's mostly in the Catholic religion at one time, they used to teach that, what is say, in fact, in earlier time, the church thought that the fetus was inanimate up to 80 days after conception. And one of these other contacts of Billy Quetzal goes on to mention that the fetus, which some might argue is technically still an embryo, receives the human spirit at 21 days. And that's, we talked about that earlier. But another important thing to keep in mind here is that according, and this is Contact Report 260, it says that the fetus feels pain by the 12th week of the 13th month. So these late-term abortions are horrific. I mean, you're causing horrible pain and then taking the life of a living, truly a living being. The life doesn't, I mean, it isn't, it's a sentient being at 21 days. And then at somewhere around the, what did I just read, the 12th week, the third month, it can feel pain. So there is a very interesting, I guess I'm getting into a lot of clips today. This is, I'm just kind of just for a short time, this is a very interesting clip on pregnancy. And we'll listen to just a little bit of this, and I can't believe it's already, we've been going for 20 minutes, so. I've been trying to keep these shorter because we're uploading to other places that it takes a little while to get things uploaded. We'll just say that. That's a whole nother job.
A glorious chain reaction has begun. Like the embrace that began the process, the nucleus of the egg and sperm join inside the egg, now grows a tiny human, gently nestled and protected in mother's womb. Together, mother and child share this odyssey of life, nurturing, and rapid change. A magnificent adventure called pregnancy.
This is a very good clip. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Pregnancy. And I believe originally it came from the Discovery Channel. So it's a very good documentary. You can find it on YouTube. I'll just play a little bit more of it.
Each of us is unique. And yet every one of us is more alike than we might imagine. Our chromosomes and genes are almost identical. And we all got here in much the same way. Voyagers on the same miraculous journey as ourselves became ourselves. This is a story of that journey. It's about the bond between mother and child. A bond that starts invisibly from the moment of conception. From the very first moment, when two tiny cells begin to transform into a new person, the mother's body starts to reshape and remodel itself. She becomes perfectly suited for carrying the most precious cargo imaginable, the fragile beginning of life itself. Reproduction is both exquisite and exquisitely common, perfect in its design. It begins the instant 400 million sperm launch against the cervix, the entrance to the woman's reproductive system. Each is programmed to seek out the egg and fertilize it. It's a risky mission. Many sperm perish in the acidic climate of the vagina. The strongest make their way through the cervix to start their marathon. The sperm must swim the equivalent of 9 miles through hostile waters to reach the egg.
Okay, it's a good place to stop. It's February the 8th, 2021, 5:20 p.m. Hope you'd have enjoyed the program, and we're going to try to keep these coming. Stay neutral, positive in your thinking. Don't get too positive and don't get too negative. Stick to that just a little over medium in your thinking. Be confident, be optimistic, be realistic, cheerful, enthusiastic. Remember, you're the master of your own destiny. You're the creator of your own good luck. And we'll catch you next time. Have a great day.